I needed you guys this morning. It's been a very emotional week for us, taking our grandkids out to San Diego because the weather is gorgeous. Not one mosquito. God hates me. That's all I can think of. And it's tough when you're leaving your kids there and your grandkids there. And we flew back, moved our daughter to college. That's emotional as well. But I have to admit to you, I'm still in mourning. When Jasmine Coleman passed away, that was just a shot to us and to our family. And the impact that she's made on so many of us. But she grew up with our family. The first time I met her fiance was in my kitchen. I turned around, there was some dude standing there. Hey! You know, and it's just been a very emotional time, and during the greeting time, which is so annoying, you guys just genuinely connecting meant the world to me. It lifted me up, and I needed you guys this morning. We're doing a two-month journey with the very ordinary Gideon. So ordinary that we finally, after a few weeks, get introduced to Gideon. And when we see Gideon, he's hiding. That's how ordinary he is, because he's living his life by fear. And we tend to do that a lot of times. Very ordinary. The first time that he is mentioned, is he a coward? Is he doing what is necessary to survive? Because those are the things that we can appreciate, right? Just doing the necessary things to survive. The problem is, that's not what we're called to be as believers. Survivors. We're called to thrive. But we develop habits and a way to live just so that we can make it through the next day or the next moment. And that's not what God expects, especially when God is on our side. Now, we, like the Israelites, they cried out for help. Do you remember that? Do you remember the help that God sent them to face the Midianite army? Do you remember? Sent them a preacher. How's that supposed to help, right? Because what's he going to do? Preach a sermon, the enemy falls asleep, right? That's dumb, but that's what God does. Sends them a preacher to remind them of their sinfulness. That's a fun job title. Right? And that often happens when we're together and I say, yeah, but what about your heart? And they're like, I want them to change. But he also reminds them of the past promises. He reminds them that they are not called to survive. This land is theirs. He is their God. He has provided victory in the past and he will do so again. He wants them to thrive. And so what he does in today's story, he sends to Gideon his son. Jesus makes a very rare appearance in the Old Testament. And I want you to see what happens when Jesus, when we ask God for help and Jesus goes, okay, I'm here. I want you to see what Jesus sees in us when we ask for help. Open your Bibles. Open your Bibles to the book of Judges. It's somewhere in the front part of your Bible, or tap that app. The book of Judges, Judges chapter 6. You ought to have it bookmarked by now. We're only going to spend the next 3 years in this chapter getting through it. The first place that Jesus finds Gideon, he's hiding. And we tend to do the same thing when we come face to face with Jesus after we ask for help. We kind of hide some things. All right, verse 11. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak at, is that Oprah? That belonged to Joash the, who, whatever, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat, which you do out in the open so you can allow the wind to blow the bad stuff away. Where's he at? Hiding. Threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the bad guys. Now, right off the bat in verse 11, it's not an angel of the Lord or one of the angels. It is the angel of the Lord. And when that phrase is used in the Old Testament, that's a Jesus moment. That's him on earth. That's Jesus. And where do we find Jesus? My man, hanging out under a tree in the shade. I am all about that life. Give me shade, put up the hammock, and I am a good man. When What's-Her-Name and I went out to California, we were there for like a day. And I said, let's do it middle-aged style. So we rented a 2019 Mustang convertible with 5,000 miles on it. And I put that top down, and we drove around. Guess what got sunburned on me? The top of my head. Do you know what it's like? Well, Matt, do you know what it's like to be in the shower and go, ow, 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 ow. Yes, I shower. And it's, give me the shade all day long. But man, we were the true middle agers going, all right. He should be, Gideon should be out in the open, but he's hiding. Where does Jesus show up? Out in the open. Doesn't he know there's bad guys? Doesn't he know that if an Israelite is seen out, the Midianites will either come and run you over or take you captive? Jesus is not afraid of what we're afraid of. He has no reason to be. And I love that when Jesus shows up, outside of the fact that he's in the shade, my man, he is flat out in the open. He's literally the come at me, bro, moment, right? I love that. Gideon is so hiding. He's down in this wine press, and he's literally stomping on the wheat, but he doesn't want to be seen. He's hiding. When Jesus shows up to hang out with you, when you cry out for help to God and Jesus shows up, where does he find you? Oh, I'm just an open book to Jesus. Oh, we are not. We hide things, right? As if he doesn't know. Right? God, I need you to change somebody. How about changing you? I go to church every Sunday. Right? We hide. We hide. We've got to learn to live repentant lives, right? Constant state of repentance. That's what we've got to do. Expose ourselves. Quit hiding this stuff. He knows, and chances are we do too. All right, look at verse 12. Jesus, when he shows up, he is going to see straight into our hearts. Straight into our hearts. Even though we're trying to hide. Verse 12, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you. Well, that's kind of obvious, but still. The Lord is with you. And then he calls him a name. Mighty warrior. Oh my gosh. He has the same pet nickname that my wife gives me. That's amazing, right? That's not what she calls me. This is a classic moment of God sending the prophet to Jesse's house. In the Old Testament, Jesse lines up all his sons and the older good-looking ones and the real tough ones because one of his kids are going to be king. Nope. 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 Yep. And Jesse going, whoa. Wait a minute. David's cool and all, but bigger, stronger, good looking. And the prophet says, God doesn't judge by the outward appearances. He goes for the heart, right? And this is one of those classic moments of God looking straight at someone who is hiding from him and everyone else and going, hey, mighty warrior. And if he did the same to you, if he saw you and said, here's how I see you, this, what would your response be? Because we tend to look at our insecurities and define ourselves by our insecurities. God tends to look at us in what we can become through Him. The way He created us, the way He meant us to be. We watched two incredible videos this morning for amazing ministries. And the first one talked about how He formed us in our mother's womb. The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Now, here's the problem. We tend to focus on how God sees us, the mighty warrior part. And we go, nah, it's not me. And we forget the Lord is with you part. If He just shows up and says, hey, mighty warrior, the Lord is the Lord with us? Does He promise His presence to us right here, right now, no matter where we are? Then we have the ability to be mighty warriors. Except, here's the problem. We get trapped by our hopelessness. But God sees it. Look at verse 13. He knows our hopelessness because we think we have to solve all the problems. Look at how polite He is. Pardon me, my Lord. All right, Tuesday morning Bible study. What's He say next? But, sticks His big butt in God's face. But if the Lord is with us, oh, it's excuse time. He's getting ready to blame someone for all the problems that they're having. You notice who He's blaming? If the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all His wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? Thank you, Captain Sarcasm. All right, Tuesday morning group. What's better than one big butt? Two big butts. But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian. Hey, I am with you, mighty warrior. Oh, really? If God has been so good, you want to explain to me where He was when this happened? When this person was treating me that way? When I screamed out to God for help but nothing happened? And then my grandparents told me a story about how God... Who does Gideon blame for all the problems that he has? He blames God. Does that not sound familiar at all? He blames God. Where were you, God, when I needed you? Where were you when the bad guys were bullying us and running us over? Where were you? Don't tell me stories about generations past. Where you been? Where are you? Now, I want you to notice specifically that if the Lord is with us, why? Where was He? What about now? Nails it, right? Sound familiar? If the Lord is with us, why? Where? What about now? And it does sound familiar, doesn't it? God already gave him the answer with the first words out of his mouth. The answer to all three of those questions. The Lord is with me. The chapter begins with the Israelites again did evil in the eyes of God. There's the blame. Because I do the same thing. Man, I'm going to be good this week. No, I haven't. No, I have not. You should have been in my mind when my grandson was screaming his head off in the airplane a year and a half old, two rows in front of us. A guy is wearing Bose noise-canceling headphones. And he turned around to look at us. That boy was wailing. I did not have good thoughts. Year and a half old. The answer to where was God? Why did he let this happen? Where is he now? The Lord is with you. The Lord is with us. They desperately needed help. He sent him a preacher. He sent him his son. Right? We desperately need help. Sends a preacher. Look online, you'll find a good one. And the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. He sends his son. And we killed him. Killed the prophets. We killed Jesus. So that we can be rescued. So that we can be delivered. Where is God when I need him? Hanging on a cross. Coming back to life. Inhabiting us with his Holy Spirit. Because the Lord is with us, mighty warrior. And that's our communion time this morning. I want you to spend time thinking about these questions, the why, where have you been, what about now, and let him know, hey, I'm frustrated, God, I need you now. Don't tell me about then, I need you now, but stop for a moment and just simply go, I am thankful that when I needed you most, I found you on the cross. Let's pray for our communion time. Father, we love you and we thank you for this opportunity to worship you with communion. It's always a reminder of who I'm not, what I can't do by myself. And it's a reminder that in you, I can be a mighty warrior. The insecurities and the hurt and the brokenness. When you are with me, but I just hide. So as I hide this morning, I'm just gonna meet you where you are on that cross and know that God is love. And that you are enough.
To the cross I look, to the cross I cling, of its suffering I do drink. Of its work I do sing. Thrown in my Savior, both bruised and crushed, show that God is love. God is just. And at the cross you beckon me, you draw me gently to my knees and I Where we are, whether we're coming to you completely broken or as a mighty warrior, meet us where we are. Lead us and guide us and help us just to be that holy surrender that we want to be. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.